Your speaker is Winfred Claiborne of Fayetteville, Tennessee.
Thank you very much. Preaching appears prominently throughout the New Testament, especially in the book of Acts. When the church at Jerusalem experienced persecution surrounding the death of Stephen, the disciples were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles, Acts 8:1. Those early believers were so committed to the cause of Christ that nothing or no one could prevent their preaching the gospel. Therefore, they who were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them, Acts 8:4 and 5. There can be no question about the spread of the gospel through the preaching of the apostles and other gospel preachers, such as Stephen, Philip, Silas, Timothy, and others. But is it legitimate to think of preaching in a worship context? We know that prayer, partaking of the Lord's Supper, singing, and giving of our means are God-ordained acts of worship. But should preaching also be considered worship? The answer to that question cannot be given in a simpler fashion than we find it in the New Testament. When the church was established on Pentecost, about 3,000 people obeyed the gospel, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers, Acts 2:42. The word doctrine in the Greek is didaskalia, which means teaching. How could there ever be worship to God without finding out from His Word what He wants us to do in our work and worship? What higher form of worship could there be than listening to God speaking through His book, the Bible? Acts 20 records what occurred in Troas on the Lord's Day, and upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached to them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. Acts 20:7. The word speech in this verse is from the Greek logos, which means word. Paul, by divine inspiration, was conducting the worship service in harmony with God's wishes. During the worship service in Troas, Paul preached to them. When one combines this incident with Acts 2:42 and with other passages, it ought to be obvious that preaching must be a part of our worship to God. Even from a purely human viewpoint, this makes sense. We must always be devoted to listening to His Word. One question pertaining to preaching should be raised. What should a man preach when he speaks for God during the worship of the church? Acts 8:4 says that they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the Word. The very next verse says that Philip preached Christ to the Samaritans. Later on in the same chapter, Luke says, "But when they, that is, the Samaritans, believed of Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Christ, they were baptized, both men and women." Acts 8:12. The same Philip opened his mouth and preached Jesus to the Ethiopian eunuch. Acts 8:35. Is there any difference between these expressions and preaching the whole counsel of God? Acts 20:27, or preaching Christ and Him crucified. 1 Corinthians 2:2. Every preacher must be completely committed to preaching the whole truth of the gospel. Whatever the church needs to hear, he must be prepared to preach it. He must also have the courage to speak as the oracles of God. 1 Peter 4:11. If churches need to hear sermons on adultery, homosexuality, greed, beverage alcohol, gambling, abortion, and other controversial topics, the preacher stands condemned before God if he fails to preach the word without fear or favor. Did not Paul tell Timothy, "Preach the word, be instant in season and out of season"? My friends, we thank you for listening. May God continue to bless and keep you.